This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
News Radio 560 KPQ is 12:15. Time for my show to begin. It's called The Agenda. Oh, I just sit around and, you know, I'm a disc jockey. I just sit. That's what I do. I play the records. And our guests do all the hard work. In fact, when we started this cavalcade of candidates, which seems like 2 years ago, I didn't think it was going to be such a long list, but a lot of people are running for office. And that's why when invariably during every interview that we've conducted with someone running for office locally, that's going to affect your life in some way in the future, some fractional way that you can't imagine right now, I say that I shall be very cross with you if you don't vote because you're just not participating. It's just like taking the paper but never reading it, being a citizen but never reading the Constitution, living in your city and enjoying all the protection that comes with that without ever participating or giving back or enjoying even the knowledge of how it's all done. And that's unfair, and unfairness does not get rewarded. So if you don't vote, I shall be very cross with you. Now let's meet our very special guest, part of our cavalcade of candidates, Alan Blackman, candidate for Chelan County District Court as the judge there. An attorney at law who joins us once again, and it's always good to see you, Alan. You got to go on a little vacation recently, right in the middle of your candidacy. Good move.
Yeah, well, thank you, and good afternoon, everyone, and Michael. Yes, I did, a few weeks ago, I had a chance to take a quick break for just a brief respite.
Did you experience guilt when you took your break?
A little bit, because I was thinking about the campaign, the entirety of the trip, I suppose. It was supposed to be just a fishing weekend with some guys, and was thinking about the campaign a lot. It's hard not to.
And did your classmates tease you? Oh, there's Alan. Look at him. He's running for a judgeship. Look at him.
Well, actually, they were pretty excited about it, believe it or not. I think they were excited for me. Some friends of mine from law school, and we had a good conversation and just hung out and did a little bit of fishing. But they were excited for my candidacy.
So if a good friend of yours from law school says, what's it like to run for office when you're running for a judgeship? What's your answer?
Well, there's an awful lot that's involved in it. People just see, like, the commercial I'm doing or this presentation I'm doing now with you. They see this in the public. They see us doorbelling or going to forums and our signs. But there's a lot of nuts and bolts behind that, whether it's scheduling meet and greets or getting the sign designs right or your mailer or your doorbeller right and balloons. We had balloons. We've had so many different little things involved in our campaign from little popper or water coolies and all sorts of things that you have to design and have to figure out, is that the design I want? There's an awful lot involved that the public doesn't see that goes behind this, as opposed to just the more public things, such as speaking on the radio now or going to meet and greets or forums.
And how's it been? You're meeting the public, which sometimes an attorney at law only meets his client and the judges and the people he works with every day. He may not get out and actually have to surf the public opinion of him.
Well, that's true. And my job as a deputy prosecutor, I have a lot of interaction with the public because I'm always talking to witnesses or victims and also a lot of attorneys. But, you know, I really enjoy getting out. That's one of the things I actually enjoy very much about being a candidate for judge, is that I get to go out and meet more of the public than I normally see. So whether it's at a parade or at the fair, a meet and greet, doorbelling, just seeing people on the street, and amazingly, people that I don't even know are saying they're voting for me, that's really encouraging. It feels really good. So I really enjoy a lot of the public contact. It just helps reaffirm what I'm doing and how I feel I'm doing, but also it's great to get the feedback of the public. But I absolutely love going out and doing all the events in the public eye.
As you've already heard, Mr. Blackman, I'm hammering the people who don't vote in this county with a ball peen hammer every day, trying to build up some guilt so that they'll at least take part in their own democracy. But they may not know exactly what a district court judge does, and I don't blame them for that. Can you explain the activities of a district court judge?
Sure. Now, district court is different than superior court, which we have several candidates for that as well locally. District court is what's called a court of limited jurisdiction. That is a court that is going to see what's called misdemeanors and gross misdemeanors, which are crimes that have a punishment of 364 days or less, so basically a year. It's also going to be all your traffic infractions. It's going to be small claims, civil suits of $100,000 or less. And to give you an example of a type of a case that you might see on the criminal side would be a DUI, driving under the influence. We might call them like simple assaults or assault in the fourth degree, shoplifting, or any property crimes that have a value of $750 of less of damage or what was taken. No contact orders as long as it's the first or second one, things of that nature. It really is the people's court for the most part, and a lot of people just see some of the Superior Court candidates, but for district court, it's a really important court because it's the court that most people are going to have contact with in their lives, whether they get a parking ticket or a traffic ticket. That's the court they're going to see. We just had a big public confirmation of a Supreme Court justice and talking about the policies that they do there. That Supreme Court is not going to have, the public is not going to have a lot of contact. They're not going to appear before the Supreme Court a lot. They're going to appear in front of district court and potentially Superior Court for a family law matter. But I really call it the people's court. It's a very important court because people's perception of the court system is often going to be judged by what court they're going to in front of, and that is most likely going to be district court.
You're born and raised in Wenatchee.
I'm not born, but I was raised in Wenatchee. I moved here in 1970. My father was initially a Fuller Brush salesman way back when and had an opportunity of transferring to Bellevue or Wenatchee back in 1970. He chose Wenatchee and raised the family here. Absolutely love our valley. I moved back here after law school and having a small business in Connecticut. So I was raised here, attended kindergarten through 12th grade, 1 year at Wenatchee Valley College, so I could pay off a car that I had bought when I was a senior in high school here, then to University of Washington for law, for undergrad, and then Syracuse in New York for law.
Syracuse. I used to hate the kids from Syracuse. I went to Miami, so that had something to do with their, they figured themselves as a main university and they thought we were just there to get a suntan.
Well, yeah, Miami.
And they had a point.
Yes, Miami did join the Big East later on. They weren't one of the original members. So they did become a rival of Syracuse. Not as much as Georgetown or Connecticut, but Miami was a rival of
It's like
the
you can't beat us in football and we can't beat you at basketball, and that's pretty much the way that's going to go forever.
Exactly.
When you came back and started practicing law, what kind of law did you practice? What kind of law were you in love with?
Well, it's what I'm doing now, is being a prosecuting attorney. I'm a criminal prosecuting attorney here for Chelan County. I've been doing that for 22 years, serving all of our community here. The entire county, as if people don't know, for a prosecutor, the entire county is your client. That is who you respond to, and that ultimately is who you have to answer to.
Those are the people.
That is the people, exactly. People of Chelan County. And so I'm very proud to be a prosecutor. I absolutely love being a prosecutor and helping to represent our community. One thing that people don't understand and maybe see is that they always think a prosecutor is just looking for a conviction. And that's not accurate. Really, a prosecutor's role is what's called a quasi-judicial officer under the Washington State Supreme Court as well as the United States Supreme Court. And what that means is that our goal as a prosecutor is truly to be to seek justice, to act in an impartial manner. Now, granted, yes, part of our job is we want to make sure that the guilty are convicted, and that's a very important part of our job. But just as important as seeking a conviction for those guilty, we also have to make sure that the innocent are free. And a prosecutor is not doing their job if they're not balancing those two things. So that's what I'm doing now is as a prosecutor. I absolutely love it, but it's just... I felt the way with Judge Harmon is now retiring, I thought I would run in that position.
So as a prosecutor, you put people away. And obviously when you see some people, you say, well, that guy deserves it. But when you, this interesting concept of finding someone who perhaps needs to be set free, that too is part of your judgment or your experience at work. And that seems to be something that you can only gain from experience.
It is, and it's that's one of the things that I also go on as experience matters, because I do have 22 years of experience being a prosecuting attorney. 16 of those years are in district court, which is the court that I'm seeking. And it really is, you can have, I guess, an idea of how the court should run, but until you get in there and do it for year after year, you really begin to understand what's involved, and it's the knowledge that you gain and the depth of it, of that knowledge that you gain over those number of years allows you to have that basis of knowledge, but also to be able to evaluate your cases as a prosecutor in a fair and impartial manner, but also to be able to apply that behind the bench when you're making particular rulings or not. You always want to make sure you're being fair and impartial in those rulings, and that large degree of experience certainly helps.
And there's another problem, too. That is to be seen as fair and impartial. Your perception, or the perception that some judges are completely comfortable with, so it seems to me, is that they don't care if they appear to be impartial. That's my impression.
Well, some may be. I mean, I really I'm going to seek, and I feel I'm very impartial as in my job right now, because it's part of the job as a prosecutor. We winnow out cases, in which we eliminate cases that might have a procedural issue in them prior to charging. That's part of a job as a prosecutor. We get cases that come to us from law enforcement, and we'll look for particular issues. And if we see a particular issue that we believe steps upon the rights of the defendant or respondent, then oftentimes we won't even file that charge. And so that's part of our job that we do that the public never sees. It's just something that always is behind the background. The public sees us in court and sees us perhaps arguing for a conviction on a particular person, but they don't see the other part, which is kind of the nuts and bolts of being a prosecutor, in what cases we decide to charge, what charges we choose to bring, and what negotiations we do in those. That's a lot of the things that the public doesn't see, but it really builds upon my impartiality and my ultimate goal, and truly this is a personal goal of mine, to seek justice in every case that I do.
A lot of people don't go to court just to watch and be entertained, just to observe, like, as is their right. Not every court is open, but many courts are.
Yeah, most courts in the state of Washington are open. We have dependency actions, which are parental right terminations. Those are more close to the public. But almost everything else is open, including juvenile court, which people don't are surprised to hear, I suppose. But there aren't a lot of people that come and watch trials. I mean, you see in movies or you see on the news that people are watching trials. Really, that doesn't happen, and it's a shame. It would be great if more of the public would come down and see what's going on in their legal system, so they can make comments on that, so they can watch a trial and really understand what the justice system in the state of Washington is. You know, it's a shame that we don't get more people down there, but I would encourage it.
Do you think if someone without legal training were sitting in the back and watching the procedure, periodically in every case, there'd be like a mystery moment? They say, what happened there? What happened to that? He didn't say anything, but the judge looked at him, and then they talked, and then what happened?
There's probably a lot of moments like that. I mean, imagine in court where we might use a particular lingo or jargon in court that the general public may not understand, but that the prosecutor and the defense attorney or the two attorneys in a civil matter and the judge, they all understand what's going on. When we do have sidebars, we really should put that back on the record, because we do have public hearings in public court in the state of Washington. That's something that is very jealously guarded here in the state of Washington, to make sure we do have open courts. So the sidebars, for the most part, should be on the record. But yeah, there is going to be some times when somebody in the back that does not understand legalese or really what's going on might be a little confused at what happened.
You also find that someone who's without the legal training like myself would also say, is this fair? Is this a good courtroom? Is this moving beautifully? Is this how it should be? Do you find that the people of Wenatchee should rest assured that their court system is efficient, fair, and modern?
Well, that's the goal for all courts, is to be those things. I'm sure that not every court runs efficiently on every day that they wish. Sometimes court will run very smoothly and in an efficient and fair and just manner. And then sometimes you're just going to have hiccups in cases that issues are going to pop up that weren't perhaps foreseen by either party, or somebody will bring a motion at a particular hearing that will, slow things down. But those still do need to be heard. We don't need to expedite the hearings so much that we are missing our eyesight on justice. So although I think the courts are moving efficiently, there's probably a few things we can do to make them more efficient. And I certainly hope that every court that we have in our community, and I do believe this, is just in the way they're doing their cases.
I probably don't have to tell anyone in America that Brett Kavanaugh seems to be a Republican. Do you know the political affiliation of any of the judges running for office in Chelan County? I won't tell you the answer to that. Our guest, Alan Blackman, will tell you why you don't know and why you won't know right after these words.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
Elevate your awareness.
Not just our customer, you're our friends and neighbors. Wenatchee Body and Fender, just south of Stands on Benton Street.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
12:33 on The Agenda. Michael Knight, your humble host, with my very special guest, Alan Blackman, candidate for Chelan County District Court Judge. I've talked to a lot of judges running for Superior Court, running for District Court during this election, and my favorite aspect of this election is that there is an aspect to it that avoids and evades and buries the political aspect, and I think that's wonderful.
Judges in the state of Washington are what's called nonpartisan. In other words, we do not have a political affiliation to us. So the hope is that we are going to be fair and impartial and not bound to any particular party. Other states may do something different. I know there's one state out there that actually the political parties, whether it be Republican or Democrat, actually nominate the candidate for that particular position that they want to have represent. But then on the election, it turns nonpartisan. How that exactly works, I'm really not sure. That doesn't sound quite right, but that's the way it is. But in the state of Washington, it's nonpartisan, so we do not have any party affiliation.
And how do you think that works out? As intended?
I think so. In the state of Washington, I mean, each person is going to have their own personal makeup, I suppose, on how they are going to decide a case. But the idea is that it doesn't matter who the judge is, if we're following the law, and following the Constitution of the state of Washington, as well as the United States Constitution, and the laws passed by the legislature, we should all be coming to a fair and impartial decision.
Isn't it kind of disturbing to think that if the judge is a Whig or a Tory, that the person is going to be guilty or innocent with the same law and the same charges in the same courtroom? That's frightening.
Yeah, it is. I mean, because you may not know exactly how a particular judge is going to rule on a particular issue or case. Each person, and of course, when we see this, most notably, I suppose, in the United States Supreme Court, where you're going to have 9 individuals, and we have a lot of decisions that come out, most of them are going to actually be, unanimous that people don't even know about, or 9-0 decisions. But some of the other ones are going to be, 5-4, one way or the other. And so that's judges who have the knowledge and the experience. They're still going to make some decisions that they're going to differ with another person with the same knowledge and experience. So it just is each person's perception based upon their interpretation of the law, and hopefully they're still doing that fairly and impartially, I guess educated, knowledgeable, and experienced people can still have a difference of opinion.
You're in law school and you're learning the ropes, and the law is a law is presented to you, an important one. And that's when the professor says, now, you can interpret it this way or this way. Is that a poorly written law to have that much flexibility in it?
It is, because the idea when the legislature passes a law, and when the legislature passes a law, it's presumed to be constitutional. However, if a law can be interpreted fairly in two different manners, then what we might call it is void for vagueness, because the idea with a law is to give fair warning to the individuals what conduct is allowed or disallowed. And if it can be interpreted in two different ways or manners equally, then that's not really giving fair notice or warning to the individual. So that law could be declared unconstitutional based upon that.
Speaking of law school, which I find fascinating because apparently it's very hard and only smart people can survive it, or lucky ones, or lucky and smart people. Did anyone ever tell you, a professor said, you know, it's good that you're learning the law. This is a vital part of your career. You've got to do well in law school. You've got to pass the bar. But it ain't like that out there. It's going to be different when you become a professional.
To a degree. I don't think law professors are going to maybe discourage or say that too much, because they want you to continue your law school education so that it's tuition dollars for the school. But yes, there are some going to say that the practice of law is absolutely nothing like the legal profession out there, and that's true, particularly if you're in litigation, like I am as a prosecutor. You're always in court, And it's going to be different than the practice. The practice of litigation is going to be different than what you do in law school. And in law school, it's exciting, it's new, it's fresh. But after, you know, 10 or 20 years, some of the newness is off. You gain further information in what you're doing, and more knowledge in that. So you have a greater knowledge of the law, but the freshness loses it a little bit. And so that type of practice of law is going to be a lot different than when we first start law school as our first year.
You know a lot about Wenatchee more than I know. You just learn by being here, different aspects of life. When you run for office, you meet people in a different light. What have you learned since taking on the candidacy that perhaps was a surprise to you?
Well, I guess the surprise is that when you doorbell, people don't close the door in your face.
Not even once?
No, I know. Isn't that awesome? It's great. I have such a fantastic response when I'm doorbelling. I mean, you might want to see people that might want to be a little bit rushed, but I mean, that's like just a short 2-minute conversation, I suppose, at the door. But really, I've just had such a positive experience in doorbelling. I've never had anybody say, "Hey, I've got to go," or anything like that. It's just been fantastic. People want to learn, it seems. They're interested in being educated about what I'm doing as a candidate for district court. They want to know my background, my experience, how long I've been a lawyer, that type of thing. When I ran, I actually ran in 2006 against Judge Harmon, and I'm sitting in this seat now because I didn't win back then. And one thing I was hearing back then is that they always felt I was too young or didn't have the experience. I was 41 years old and had about 10 years of experience. So I'm not getting that now, which is good. They are very engaged in wanting to know about my background and qualifications. I do have to say, I do have to preface my remarks. When I start doorbelling at each individual door, I have to tell them that there are 3 different judicial positions up for election this year. There are 2 for Superior Court and 1 for District Court. And I have to make sure they understand I'm not running against the candidates. It's 3 candidates, I guess, now.
Right.
Well, 4, but 1 has dropped out on the Superior Court side. I'm actually not running against those folks. I'm running in District Court. In my own race. And once they get understand that, I think some of the confusion slips from their faces and they begin to understand more exactly what position I'm running for.
Oh, you probably run into some people who say, "Oh, there's an election? When?"
Yeah, amazingly, this actually was more often in the primary. I had a primary back in August, which I'm thankful for the voters' support on they had the most votes in the primary, so thank you very much, voters of Chelan County. But a lot of people back then did not know that there was a primary election. They just always assume it's going to be in November. I haven't ran into anybody recently that didn't know an election was coming, because you're starting to see an awful lot of that. And as you note, there's a ton of yard signs out there, and there's radio advertisements and TV advertisements for not only our local races, but statewide. So, although initially I ran into some people that did not know there was a primary, and again, thank you very much, Chelan County, for your vote. They do definitely know now about November.
So you become a better campaigner. You know how to do the front porch strut, because that's something that I don't think I could do very well. Maybe if I got at the reception you're getting, I would feel more comfortable.
Well, it's just really just talking about yourself and why you're running and what the position is. I mean, I'm sure you would be a fine doorbeller. All it is you knock on somebody's door, you introduce yourself, you tell them who you are, what you're running for, and in my case, because people don't know much about the judiciary, I had to explain, you know, the Superior Court versus District Court. But after that, then it's just talking about yourself. Tell them why you're running. Tell them why you're qualified for that job. Tell them what your experiences are. And, you know, you don't have to tell them what to vote for you, but you give them your pamphlet or your flyer, whatever it is. You thank them. You'd appreciate their vote if you'd like to give it in this November. But most importantly, you want to make sure that they do vote. As you'd mentioned at the beginning of your segment, a lot of people don't vote. Now, we had a really high turnout, believe it or not, for our primary. We had about 45% turnout for a primary, which is absolutely fantastic considering there aren't very many races on that primary. I believe, in 2016 for our presidential election, we actually had more votes in our primary this time than we had in the presidential election for the primary in 2016. So that's just encouraging. I love seeing people get out and vote, but please, everyone, make sure you vote. It is your civic duty.
It's right. It's not just your right. Okay, you've got the right. You reach a certain age, you are able to vote. But so what? Unless you perform your duty, what good is it? You've been awarded an opportunity to enter the political world and your own social obligation. If you deny it on some lame excuse, who are you shorting? Yourself, your participation in democracy, and you're screwing up the election that was your opportunity to take part in. Unacceptable, Your Honor.
Well, yeah, I really do want people to vote. I mean, because that's how you can express your viewpoint on how things are running. You get to pick the person that you want, or the law, whatever the situation may be, that you would like to have passed. And so if you don't exercise that right to vote, then the person or the candidate or the law that you want to have passed may not pass. So please, everyone, make sure you vote. You'll feel good about yourself. You'll feel like you're contributing to at least the decision-making in our community, whether it's local or statewide or even nationally.
A lot of people say, well, voting's a hassle. Well, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. That's tough. It's your job.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
This message paid for by the committee to elect Keith Gaynor, State House of Representatives, 12th District, Position 1, GOP.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
Part of our show here on The Agenda recently has been the cavalcade of candidates. There's a lot of people running for office, and the election is Tuesday, November 6th, just days away. Before you know it, it'll be Halloween, and then bingo, the midterm elections are upon us. Countywide, statewide, nationwide, your vote is important. My special guest right now in studio is Alan Blackman, candidate for Chelan County District Court Judge. He's an attorney at law here in town. He's a prosecuting attorney and also someone who's proud of some of his accomplishments that have actually changed the fabric of life here as we know it.
Well, I don't know if they've changed the fabric of life, but maybe they've helped. One of the things I'm really proud of when I think back about my career is something we really did recently regarding mental health in our community. Myself, in partnership with Confluence Health and Tracy Kasnick and Dr. Rutherford up there, Senator Linda Parlett, as well as Catholic Charities, who is our mental health provider, we saw a need in our community to take care of people mentally here locally, as opposed to having them sent to a facility out of our area. The hospital, Confluence Health, was willing to have these individuals stay there and receive counseling and services there, but the law really didn't allow it. So we got the law changed so that smaller communities and areas like Chelan County, and in particular in the Wenatchee area, could have a program where mentally ill individuals under certain circumstances could be treated in a local facility like our hospital. So I'm really proud of that. We were able to get that law changed to allow that. And the idea was to be an example for smaller communities to do this. I understand right now it's in the works that Samaritan Hospital in Grant County is looking at it, and we're very, very proud of this, all of us that are involved in this, so that we can take care of the individuals here in our community locally that are mentally ill, that have severe mental health needs, as opposed to sending them elsewhere for treatment.
And these are people with mental problems that conspire to get them before the law, right?
Well, it's not just for people that commit crimes, although often that they may commit crimes. These are for individuals who are really a risk to themselves. They might be suicidal or want to cause harm to themselves. They might cause harm to people or property, or they might just what we call gravely disabled. They're just really unable to take care of themselves because of their mental health disease.
And that you were seeing these people in court, and you were saying it's almost too late to help them now. We failed them. We should have seen to them somehow before they got this far.
Well, I don't want to say we failed them. I mean, because society, we're doing what we can regarding the mentally ill, and there obviously needs to be more funding for those services. But one of the programs that I've also very proudly have helped create, along with our mental health providers, particularly Eric Skansgard with Catholic Charities, is do a mental health diversion program. We have that for district court now for nonviolent, non-felony offenders who are really mentally ill, that they may not be competent to stand trial. we have a system that we can divert them or remove them from the criminal justice system and get them into the community where they can receive much more intensive services. There was a large grant that was given to Catholic Charities for this purpose, and the idea is the prosecution, the defense, and particularly the mental health providers and the court, the prosecutor agrees to dismiss this case if the individual enter into treatment with the mental health provider. We've just started that this spring. I'm really proud of that. I was one of the founding members of that. That's something else I think is just a huge benefit to our community, to get these people who are mentally ill, get them out of the jail and the criminal justice system, because that's not where they need to be. Again, we're talking about people that are severely mentally ill, not just they may have a lesser mental illness.
So are we talking about people who are recycling constantly through the system?
Exactly, yes.
They're back again and again.
Yeah, they're going to do what we call maybe our nuisance crimes, a lot of our trespasses, maybe some lower level harassment, things like that. Just they get arrested. The idea is to get them back out of that jail into the community and be targeted for services by our mental health provider.
My guest is Alan Blackman. He is a candidate for the Chelan County District Court judgeship, and he's about to ask you for your vote.
Folks, you're going to get your ballot in about a week from today. So the election is right upon us. It's the we have less than 4 weeks till the election is over. I am asking for your vote. I've been serving our community for over 22 years as a deputy prosecutor. I have the experience and qualifications necessary and needed for this court in order to represent us all in a fair and impartial manner. I was thankful, and I'm very thankful for all of you voters here in Chelan County that gave me the most votes in the primary. I just am asking you to continue to support me, and if you'd like the most qualified and experienced candidate for this position, I would ask for your vote.
There you go. Anything else?
No, just make sure you get out and vote. Like I said, your ballots are going to be in your mailbox within a week. Postage is paid. Select who you want to vote for. Get it right back in the mail. It's all taken care of. You don't have to pay for it.
That's Alan Blackman, candidate for Chelan County District Court Judge, and our guest today on the agenda. Thank you, Mr. Blackman.
You're welcome, and thank you, and enjoy your evening or afternoon.
I will, sir. Thank you.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.